Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today we're going to talk about an article from the October edition of the APA Monitor. So that's the Monitor is the name of a journal by the American Psychological Association, and each edition comes out with new articles and new topics. Oftentimes they're sort of reviews of research and reviews of on particular topics, and this one is about one of our big three. And this one is all about restorative sleep.
Right.
So the title is The Power of Restorative Sleep. Mm-hmm. New research uncovers the connections between sleeping well and staying healthy as we age. That's the full title. I think there's a colon in there somewhere. But it's written by Kirsten Weir. The link in the show notes will take you to that. Mm-hmm. But the actual article in the print version included a couple of other authors, but this is a really detailed and good article about sleep that they refer to as the third pillar.
And the other two would be? It has to be. They don't say what the other two are.
Right.
Presumably.
It would have to be exercise and diet.
Exercise and nutrition.
Right.
Right. So restorative sleep, good nutrition, and exercise.
Okay,
I was going to say vigorous exercise, but it doesn't even have to be vigorous. It just you have to get out and move.
Yeah,
right.
Just move around.
Okay.
So there's a number of things that this article covers. A lot of information.
It's a long article.
So definitely get in there and read through it, and you're going to get a lot of information from this article.
Right.
And so, but we're going to hit a couple of important highlights as it relates to quantity and quality. And what we do when we're not sleeping well, you know, how to manage that. I think it's important for us to talk about that a little bit.
I didn't realize how it's actually dangerous not to sleep well, or to sleep long enough, or to sleep well.
Right.
And you have to do both. Mm-hmm. This idea that I can do it on 5 hours of sleep is probably not such a good idea, as it turns out, as we learn more about sleep and the importance of sleep and the value of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's hard to make those connections because this is about aging. It's over the lifespan, but it's about particularly the effects of aging, and it's difficult to know whether people who, as they age, do you sleep less because of some factor in the aging process, or do you age poorly because you're not sleeping well?
Right.
So it's hard to know which.
Yeah.
Which is a chicken and egg sort of situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so when it comes to some of these big factors, big points that we need to talk about with this study, this article, one of the things, again, is quality and quantity.
Right.
We always hear 8 to 10 hours.
Right.
Well, you hear 8 to 10 hours, you hear 7 to 10 hours, you hear 8 to 12 hours, you hear all these different numbers thrown around. And the reality is that there is some variability depending on age, depending on activity, depending on your personal biology and rhythm. Mm-hmm. Some people need more, some people need a little bit less, but the average or aggregate of the typical amount of sleep is around 8 hours.
Right.
About a third of the day.
Roughly speaking, it's about 8 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree. It's disappointing that a third of your day has to be spent sleeping. There's so many things to do. But to really maximize that other two-thirds, that other 16 hours, you do need some sleep.
We get what Dr. Bernie is talking about is we get here very early in the morning. I like coming to work early. The other day, I slept in. until 6 or something. And
it was daylight outside when he woke up.
It rarely happened. How often do you wake up at daylight? And I was coming to work and there was too much traffic.
Yeah.
You know, we do not live in a metropolitan area, but coming in at 7 o'clock, there's all of a sudden you have to battle traffic, whereas mm-hmm. normally we come in at 4 or 4:30 and we have the roads to ourselves.
Right.
Gas stations are empty.
Yeah.
The roads are empty. And it's
a pleasant
drive to work. And all of a sudden you see all these cars and wait a minute.
School buses and...
But when I came in this morning, I have so much to do today. And I came in this morning and I was thinking to myself, there isn't enough time to sleep.
Yeah.
Who has time to sleep?
Yeah.
Right? But it's absolutely essential that you put sleep into your daily routine.
Right.
Because it's related to virtually every physical disease that's going to kill us. You know, diabetes and cancer and heart disease, coronary disease, strokes. Poor sleep habits are related to all of those disorders,
absolutely.
All those diseases. So it is really critical, but man...
It's challenging
to spend it. You know, you'd like to take a pill instead of, I hate to stop to eat, right?
<That's>
He's
right.
Like, oh, can I just take a pill and fill myself up with that? But no, we have to.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always so much to do. So, but sleep is important. And
quantity and quality.
Right. Because we know that even though sleeping takes you away from some of the things you need to be doing, sleeping helps you maximize and really be efficient and effective in the time that you do work. Without sleep, even though you may be spending more time doing something, you're much less efficient and much less effective and much less accurate and much more stressed and all those things.
If you're tired, you need more time because you're less efficient.
Right. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you get enough quality sleep. And a good quantity of sleep. And I heard a podcast once, and he was a sleep expert from, I want to say, Australia or England. I can't remember. He had an English-like accent, so I know he wasn't. He was from some other place.
He was from the UK.
He probably could say Hertfordshire. And he said, Hertfordshire? I said it wrong again. But what he was talking about is you sleep what your body needs. And so you wake up when you wake up. And he says, you know when you've gotten, and this is difficult to handle, you sleep, you know that you've received enough sleep when you wake up naturally and you don't need an alarm and all that kind of stuff. And I think that is a big ask for people. There's no way that most of us could manage without an alarm.
I don't have an alarm.
Yeah. Yeah, but you came in late the other day at 7 o'clock in the morning. What were you doing?
Once in 3 years.
You know?
My point exactly.
I need reliability, Richard.
No. What if you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning?
You
go to bed at 10:30 and wake up at 1. 3 hours isn't enough.
Right. Yeah, there are some limitations to his description.
Minimum
that
you have to...
Right, and I'm sure that what he would say is that probably what would happen is you would go to bed at 10, you wake up at 1, and then by 5 you're ready to go back to sleep. And then
5 in the morning.
Right, 5 in the morning you're ready to go back to sleep, and you'll sleep for, you know,
that's
3
right.
or 4 more hours.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would be restored.
And then there's your 8 hours.
Because
the
there was a theory going around a few years ago that until recently, people didn't sleep for 8 hours at one stretch.
You know,
they slept for a few hours, and they got up and did some things, and they slept for a few more hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how true that is, but that was another idea that was floating around some time ago, that it's not abnormal to wake up after a few hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the rhythm your sleep rhythm does put you in a position several times a night where you're almost awake.
That's right.
So,
and if the TV is on, then you awaken.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to, but you do because the TV's on.
Yeah.
You know, if an advertisement hits at the same time you're at one of those peaks, it's going to wake you up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not natural awakening.
Right.
And that interferes with your sleep.
That's interrupting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's a section, a couple sections in this article talking about sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
And I told you that I really liked the title of one section because it's entitled Enter Sandman. Which makes me
Why Sandman?
Sandman? Well, Because, you know, back in the day when kids felt tired, they felt like they had sand in their eyes. And so they said the Sandman was
so your eyes.
Were... Yeah. But Inner Sandman is also a Metallica song, which is pretty awesome. So, but he talks about sleep hygiene in this section. And I did not know this, but he tells us that the American, what is it called? The American College of Physicians.
Right.
Recommends cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia
right.
as a first line of treatment before right. medications.
Before medications, right.
Mm-hmm. So a type of cognitive behavioral therapy that focuses on sleep hygiene mm-hmm. and sleep habits and sleep thoughts and behaviors, that should be your first line of treatment for sleeping difficulties right. as opposed to sleeping pills and medications.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, those the sleeping pills still don't have a good reputation.
They don't.
You know, people don't really like taking them.
Right.
They complain about side effects and after effects. And
yeah.
So they recommend, this organization in particular recommends mm-hmm. a cognitive behavioral approach right. to improving your sleep.
Right. Because oftentimes you can impose sleep medicinally.
That's right.
But it's not restorative
sleep.
But it's
not going to be restored.
Right. It's sort of like drinking too much and then falling asleep. It's yes. not...
It's you're tired, not a restorative but it's not sleep, good sleep.
Mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, using good habits so that you get that restorative sleep is important. Mm-hmm. And good sleep hygiene, you know, a dark room, cool temperature, you know, quiet, mm-hmm. or maybe with some non-specific white noise. Those are important things
right.
to consider and use. Going to bed at a similar time every day, mm-hmm. not just school nights. Every day, going to bed around the same time every day, getting up around the same time every morning, mm-hmm. you know, having those consistent routines are all habits of good sleep hygiene.
That's right. But he makes another excellent point. Mm-hmm. Hygiene is not treatment.
Right.
So you need to have good sleep hygiene, and many of us don't.
Right.
We do all the things we're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not supposed to text and drive, but right. most people are texting and driving. Right. You're not supposed to take your cell phones and iPads and TVs to the bedroom, but mm-hmm. we do. Mm-hmm. So if you're having trouble sleeping, begin with good sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. But if that isn't working, then you may need some kind of more right. intensive treatment
right.
because hygiene is not treatment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to be cautious with some of the over-the-counter things.
Right.
Melatonin, for example. Melatonin is pretty good in a very short term, but it's a hormone. And so when you take melatonin, you're taking a hormone, and again, it's okay temporarily. It's not something that you want to take over a long period of time.
That's right.
Because your pineal gland will stop making it. Mm-hmm. And so you need to, but it's just to regulate sleep, your sleep cycle. It's not, melatonin doesn't induce sleep. It just helps guide the sleep cycle.
That's right.
So you don't want to use it as a sleep aid from right. the perspective of using it to go to sleep. You use it as a way to get your sleep cycle in sync, and then you stop taking it.
Right. It was never meant to be used long term.
Right.
And it was never meant to be a soporific. It was
right.
never meant to put you to sleep. People use it for jet lag.
Right.
Okay, you come back from a trip and you want to re-regulate your sleep cycle, so you take it for a few days and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be taken long term. I'm not sure that children should use it.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are any good studies.
I haven't seen any studies, and I know that, and I've talked to lots of parents
give it
about
to
using
kids,
it. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's a naturally occurring substance, but
right.
there are lots of naturally occurring substances mm-hmm. that you may not want to ingest.
Yeah.
But we use it. I think the main thing is, people have this misunderstanding. They think of it as a sleeping pill.
Right.
And it isn't.
It's not.
And it's not meant to be used long term.
Right.
So if you're feeling the need to keep taking melatonin, then maybe mm-hmm. you should consult with somebody.
Right.
And move in some different directions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So, all right. Any other points that you have right here?
I don't think so.
Definitely check out the article. There's lots of information in here. Kind of outlines it very, very well. So
right, because the other thing for students, high school and college students, is that you need good sleep that has these sleep spindles, the rapid mm-hmm. sleep and the slow wave sleep. because that's what consolidates memories.
Right.
And so if you're in school, you want to pay particular attention to your sleep,
mm-hmm.
particularly the quality of your sleep and yeah. getting enough of that restorative sleep, because it will enhance. That's when you consolidate your memories,
yeah.
is while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate the power of sleep.
Don't. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. So, all right, that's it for today. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.